That red number is a reminder that Katie's not perfect. Yeah. In her mind, that's what's happening. And so she has to eliminate that so that she can live into the perfection. But
there are some things that I know I'm not perfect, that and I'm okay with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like what, Katie?
Well, what are you not perfect at?
This is your therapy time.
Okay, so today on the podcast...
Have a seat on this couch.
Do you have an article, Patrick?
All right, well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we are exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How you doing, Patrick?
And Katie Phillips.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Or afternoon, or evening, whatever time it is in which you're listening.
Katie!
We've got to stop making that joke. It wasn't funny the first time. It's not getting better.
Who's not perfect? Well, she's not perfect.
All right.
Okay, I'm not perfect.
Katie's not perfect. None of us are.
Okay. It's cold outside, you guys.
Burst!
We're in Texas. It's not cold outside.
Only if you're in the polar vortex.
It's still cold in Texas.
It's not. Like 50 degrees outside. Yeah,
I'm pretty cold. I don't like it. Someone
might be listening to this and it's negative 50 where they are right now. Well, there might be a 100 degree difference between our two locations.
Like, they're telling people not to go outside.
Yeah.
Then when I said it's cold outside, they would be like, yeah, I get it. So it works.
All right.
It probably will not be as cold at time of publication, but probably. Recording.
In the upper 70s at time of release.
This is in Texas. Okay. Well, all across the northern parts of our country, police are asking criminals not to commit crimes because it's too cold. Yes, they're begging criminals. Hey, guys.
Please, dear God.
Stay indoors. Don't go outside to commit any crimes. It's just too cold outside.
It's not worth your time. It's not worth our effort. Yes. Let's everybody just be cool for a couple days, right?
So this is in Warrensburg, Missouri.
Warrensburg, Missouri.
Are they listening?
Yeah, they're listening.
The criminals are
listening.
This is what the police department... Are crimes low right now? I don't know. This is what the police department put on their Facebook page. So, we are asking for a favor for at least the next 3 days. Can you keep the criminaling to a minimum? It is really cold out. Do yourself and us a favor. Stay inside. Be nice to each other. Watch reruns of Say Yes to the Dress. We hear from the firefighters that it's a really good show. Okay, thanks.
Wow. I love that.
I'm not sure how many criminals are really checking the Facebook feed of the local police department.
There are a lot of criminals who get arrested because they put things on their Facebook feed.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe I like the shade that they're throwing over at the fire department. Yeah, there.
I know. That's awesome.
Over Say Yes to the Dress.
Maybe it's just true. I don't know. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. If I was going to watch a TLC show reruns during our cold front here, it would be 90 Day Fiancé. That one's better.
What is 90 Day Fiancé?
I've never heard of that one.
That's where people like have an American citizen has a relationship with a foreign citizen, mm-hmm. and that person moves to the United States, and they have 90 days to get married.
Oh.
To become a citizen of the
country. That's not hard. Go to the courthouse, and it's done.
Yeah, but it's not about like that process. It's about finding crazy people that are in this.
Right. Okay.
And is this person only marrying them for a green card?
Okay.
Or they want their money or these types of things? Oh, wow. Yes.
Do they do a follow up like years later?
They do follow ups.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a TLC person. I'm an HGTV person.
Okay. Mm. So you would want to watch what? Property Brothers.
No, I like Love It or List It. I love Love It or List It.
Love It or List It drives me nuts.
I like Love It or List It too.
Or Fixer Upper. I'll sit and watch reruns of Fixer Upper.
I'm over Shiplap. I don't need any more Shiplap in my world.
Love It or List It or Fixer Upper is just too repetitive. It's just the same thing every time.
Yeah. Mm. Here's Chip. He's goofy.
Here's Joanna.
She's adorable. Here's a new house. Everybody's happy. That's every episode.
And a new baby. I mean, it's also cute.
Oh, there's a new baby.
There's a new baby now.
So if it's cold outside, don't care.
It is cold outside. Yes,
it's really cold. But I'm still bet up in the north, there's still some dude in shorts saying it's not that cold, because that's what always happens. Nobody likes shorts, dude, by the way. If you're a shorts guy, nobody likes you.
There is an article on The Onion that was like, recent polar vortex jeopardizes local dude in shorts population.
The dude in shorts saying it's not that cold. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Nobody's
our local bishop also put up a post with a picture of an alligator outside of somebody's front door. And with the thing said, if you're cold, they're cold. Let them inside.
I saw that.
Excellent.
That was awesome.
All right. So we have another bit of news that we're going to look
at. We do have news.
This was funny news. We have real news.
Okay.
So
real news. This is before we get to our topic.
Before we get to our topic on Why Church Part 2.
Okay.
All right. So real news. Let me get it up on my phone here. So Donald Trump, president, mm-hmm. has tweeted out support for biblical literacy classes in public schools.
Okay.
So he says, numerous states introducing biblical literacy classes, giving students the option of studying the Bible. Starting to make a turn back? Question mark. Great! Exclamation point. He likes exclamation points.
I like your way of emphasizing that for our listeners, so that they really got the full feel of what this was, what it was like to read it.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
He has like him or dislike him, he definitely has a tweeting style.
He does.
So that's what it is. So I wanted to talk about this biblical literacy in public schools. We'll spend a couple minutes on this. What do we think here? So before I get there, I do have some facts here.
Give us some facts.
The six states on this, on their state legislatures, are Indiana, Florida, North Dakota, Missouri, West Virginia, and Virginia.
Okay.
And I believe, I'm not entirely certain, but I do believe there are states that already have biblical literacy classes available as electives.
We have to look into that.
I know Kentucky.
Electives, options. Okay.
So these are not
those were all words that were being used. It's not like a mandatory, like,
sure.
You must take Bible classes.
So what do we think? Biblical literacy in high school. Pros, cons, what are we at here?
I would want to know what they mean by biblical literacy.
Sure.
There are plenty of people who study the Bible as a historical work of literature.
Sure.
Who have zero interest in the faith implications of that scripture, right? Sure. And so there are people who have made a career, who get doctorates in that pursuit of studying biblical work.
Without doubt, it is the most important literature made by man.
Yeah. I think that's a reasonable claim to make. Yeah.
It's
broad strokes from a Christian perspective, right? But yeah, I think that's...
Especially in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
That we would say it's the most influential book.
For sure, the most influential in the Western Hemisphere as far as development of politics, development of economics. I mean, it has been used throughout that process in the Western Hemisphere. So there are a lot of people who study it from that perspective. I don't necessarily have a problem with public schools doing it in that regard.
Yeah.
I'm saying here's a piece of literature.
Right.
We are going to study it from the perspective of what are the historical contexts? What is this piece of literature? I do have a concern as a pastor when we expect public entities to do the hard work of teaching faith for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think that's the role of a public entity.
And I will even take that a step further as a parent.
Sure.
Even in the Christian faith, you have many different denominations and many different ways that faith is presented.
Yeah.
Who, I get to choose where I take my children to church,
sure.
how they're going to get their faith, and I get to have those conversations with them. At school, somebody else is having that conversation with them and is presenting faith to them in a way that I might not agree with or want them to be. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of is interesting.
I think if you're a Christian and you're looking at this as a win for Christian rights, I would definitely caution that. Because I think this could easily be used against your vision of what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that if it's presented historically, maybe even critically, like thinking about the Bible with a more critical lens and sometimes the church wants to put on there, that may backfire on the church at large. That we would have a biblically literate society, but a society that sees the Bible with more disdain or criticism than sometimes your average Christian would.
So this is not an obvious win in either direction. And, We can go back and forth on what the intention of the Constitution was around Judeo-Christian values within our society. But what is clear is that there is not supposed to be a nationally defined religion. There is not supposed to be a process in which the state says this is how you are mandated to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So from a perspective of my limited constitutional understanding, I would be much more interested in having a course that my child took on what I would call maybe religious literacy or something where you would study more than just the Bible.
Around the world.
Sure. World religions courses have been being taught for years. And so maybe it's something where you go more in depth on the documents behind those religions. Mm-hmm. And so you're reading the Quran and you're reading the, I could not remember the Hindi book. and I'm coming up with the wrong one that I'm not going to say here. So yeah, you could read all of those texts to get a perspective of these world mm-hmm. religions and go back into that. I'd be very interested in having that presented sure. as an option. But again, that's because it's up to faith communities to pass on faith. Yeah. And so if I as a parent or I as a grandparent or I as a public citizen am concerned about people in my community knowing the Bible and, mm-hmm. and taking faith seriously, my role is not to go out and get the state to teach my faith. My mm-hmm. role is to teach my faith, sure. to empower people within my congregation to have that ability, to yeah. empower families, to empower kids, however we want mm-hmm. to do that within mm-hmm. our communities. That's our call as people yeah. of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely see that. I think if you're coming from the position of thinking culturally the church is lagging behind or maybe on the defensive now when it used to be on the offensive, that this is a way to gain back, I think that this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think this is a mistake to pursue this as a way to try to gain back a culture war. And I'm putting culture war in quotes here.
Sure.
But biblical literacy is valuable. I mean, mm-hmm. like, much of our American literature and television and movies draw from biblical allusion or understanding. I'm yeah. currently watching True Detective on HBO, and it has a lot of biblical allusion and biblical reference that if you were unchurched completely, you would probably miss some of those things. And so having biblical literacy, I do think, matters.
Yeah.
But this is definitely – this is not an opportunity for Christians to bring Christ into – the classroom. And if they think it is, I think it will backfire. I think that's a mistake.
And yeah. I mean, when we're talking about, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but when we're talking about bringing Christ into the classroom, right? Every time a student walks into a building as someone who believes in Christ, Christ is walking into that classroom,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
The teacher yep. does not need to proclaim faith for Christ to be present
correct.
In
yes.
that room.
Yeah.
Christ goes with our students wherever mm-hmm. they go.
Yeah. All right. Absolutely. All right, so now we're going to transition now to what we've been talking about last week and now into this week. So why church? So last week we kind of looked at this idea, if you've not listened, this idea that people have legitimate criticisms of why they do not come to church. Or,
sure.
or in their mind at least,
yeah.
legitimate. And how the church can respond to those criticisms. Mm-hmm. And now we want to take more of a personal reflection time. Like why, even if the church has not fully responded to every criticism possible, why we should still be engaged in our local congregations. So why those things matter as well. So even if your church is not perfect, and no church is, why being at church matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll start us off here. So for me, I think we all have in our friendship circles, you know, a friend that we like who marries someone that we do not like, right?
Truth.
yeah.
yeah.
And that puts a strain yeah. on your friendship mm-hmm. with that person, right? Because you're always like, oh, is your spouse going to be there? Like, you don't want to ask that directly, but you do want to know,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know? And that puts a strain.
Are you bringing a plus one?
Yeah. yeah. So who's going to be at dinner? Yeah.
yeah.
Who are we expecting to come over?
Yeah.
You know, that puts it makes it weird, right? Like, it's a weird thing.
And so, hashtag truth.
Yeah, yeah. And so in scripture, you know, the church is called the bride or spouse of Christ. And so mm-hmm. by saying, I love Jesus, but not the church, what we're really saying is, I love this person, but not Christ's spouse. Mm. And that puts us in a weird place, right? Like,
yeah.
how that means, like, Jesus, we love you, but we don't really trust your taste in women,
right.
I guess, like, you know,
in spouses,
we don't really trust your judgment call on who you've yeah. chosen to associate with. And that's just not the case. Now, obviously, churches, both small, both large, globally, locally, have issues.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jesus is saying, this is my spouse and this is who I love, you know, I'm committed to this institution, we also should be on that same page. How can we be committed to that institution?
Yeah.
And the spouse of Christ is beautiful and ugly at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, she's gorgeous and got some warts, you know, so. so
there's an image.
Yeah. But how do we engage in this thing that Jesus says, I love and I support, you know,
yeah,
in the local church?
Was there a question in there?
No, I'm just starting us off. Like, that's kind of like, I think it's valuable to look at our church not just through a critical lens, but also through a lens of beauty.
Sure.
And like that Jesus sees the church as valuable. So we have to at least somewhat acknowledge that that's what Jesus says. So
yeah.
having this idea of I like Jesus but not the church, I think is hard biblically.
Biblically, yeah, absolutely. But the advantage of loving Jesus and not the church is that you don't have to think about it biblically, right?
Sure.
That you can you can be on your own and do your own thing, and no one can challenge you because, oh, well, they're just part of the hierarchy, hypocritical, whatever structure.
Sure.
And I'm the one out here trying to do the true faith. You know,
sure.
I'm the one reading. So I think that's the... That's the danger of what we're encountering now, is that because we have empowered people to read scripture themselves, we now have a whole bunch of people who think they can read scripture themselves.
Sure.
And scripture was not intended to be read in a room by yourself. It was intended to be interpreted within the context of a community. And we hit on this last week as well. You know, if there's one reason that I encourage people to keep coming back to church, it's because of community.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
That this is a place where when it is all working the way it is supposed to, where we experience the kingdom of God in a way we can't anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And that has the power to change our lives and to change the world in which we live.
Yeah. I think we acknowledged last week that the church is not needed for community anymore.
Right.
You can create friendship circles and people that you like without the context of the church. But I think the church can and should do community better than any other place because it supports vulnerability. It supports questioning. It supports a place where you can have an intentional Christian atmosphere attached to your community. So it's not just I am here and I like these people, but we're here doing something greater than just having dinner or game nights with one another.
Yeah.
That it's bigger than that.
And something I love about our church is the amount of outreach that we do as a community, I mean, as our own church community, and that we send things out into the world. We help people in our local community around us. And we do that together here. And sometimes it's in this building that we're doing that. And sometimes it's groups of us out doing things together. So I think we serve our community well together as a community. That's a lot of the word community.
We serve our community as a community, for the community, by the community.
Sure, yep.
Our resources are greater than your resources.
Yes.
So, you know, the how we all come together, we have more time, more money, more skills to provide the world than any one individual.
Correct.
Yes.
Yep. I love that.
Yeah, and when we're talking about this community context too, There are organizations that I think do community better than the church. There are organizations that I think honor vulnerability better than we do in the church, that encourage intentional relationships better than the church. I was speaking to someone yesterday. Actually, this is part of an interview that we're going to be putting on the podcast in an episode or two. But they were referring to like the best church they've ever seen is an AA group. Because everyone in that room says openly from the beginning, I'm broken.
Sure.
And they have partners who walk them through this step. Like, you know, you have a sponsor who you can call in the middle of the night or the middle of the day, whatever is going on when something's not right, you can call. And then as you go through the process, you become it's expected that you become a sponsor for someone else. Like that is a development of the process. And, you know, we don't do that sort of thing very well in church, right?
Sure.
You know, at least at Lord of Life and in the Lutheran Church overall, I would say, I don't know if this is universal, but in my experience in the Lutheran Church, you know, if we have someone baptized as an adult, so they're coming to faith as a new adult, we have like a 4 to 5 week class maybe where we talk about faith and what this means. We dunk them and then we say, good luck. And, you know, maybe we have them like connected with a small group, maybe we help, but, you know, there's not someone who just walks along their side who they can call at any moment, any time of day to say, I'm really struggling with this. I don't know what's going on with it. I don't know. You know, we don't have that same kind of partnership. And let's just be honest, we're not a place that churches are not a place by and large where we feel like we can be completely vulnerable.
Sure.
We have not done a good job of creating that culture of allowing ourselves to be open and honest about who are we truly and what are we truly struggling with. And so, you know, why church, if we're ever asking the question why we should go to church, those are the reasons we should go to church. We should be going to be vulnerable, to be supported, to be connected in ways that we cannot be elsewhere.
Sure.
But right now the church is really struggling with that.
Sure. And I think that comes on to our conversation last week of ways the church can do a better job of addressing these things. But the church can't do a better job of addressing these things without people that want these things addressed.
Sure.
And so so even if you're having these criticisms of the church that's saying it's not as vulnerable, it's not as safe as it should be, and so you choose to disengage, then it'll never become as vulnerable and safe as it should be without pressure within its ranks saying, like, this is how it should be, or without a model saying this is the way it should be. So we definitely see community as a big aspect of why church matters and why you should be engaged in your local congregation is because of the community aspects, whether that's community service, whether that's community learning, whether that's community building. You know, all those things are going on within a church. Some better than others, but that's a reason to be in the building. What else do we have? What else do we have when people say, why should I come to church? I've got podcasts, I've got worship music at home. Why should I be here in the building?
Yes, I have a list. Ooh. Shocking. And Pastor David touched on it some. Number one on the list is to hear the word. And I know that we can, we talked about it last week.
Yeah.
We can get that through podcasts now. Mm-hmm. We can get that, you know, anywhere that you have an electronic device. You can hear somebody telling you the word of God. But listening to it together, it goes back to community too. It's kind of hand in hand. Like you, in a group of people, hearing it in a different way and being there in the moment. And a podcast, I know I listen to podcasts most often in the car when I'm driving. And distractions happen, things, a phone call comes in, and it doesn't allow you. Like, I know when I go to worship, I'm going to hear the word of God, and I'm going to be there. Well, unless my daughter or son goes, I need to go to the bathroom. But I will be focused for 15 to 20 minutes on hearing the word of God and having someone explain it to me or hear it in a new way, and those minutes will be set quietly, uninterrupted, hopefully, you know, learning.
Sure.
Yeah.
And when you're listening in the car, things happen, and you're not necessarily spending a certain amount of time just focused on that one thing.
Yeah.
And I think going to church gives you that.
Yeah, and, you know, I know pastors who don't publish or release their sermons in any way, shape, or form because their understanding is that the act of proclamation is part of the experience. And so you have to be present in this space because it's not just the words that I'm saying and it's not just the words that you're hearing. It is the presence of the Spirit in the space that empowers those words. And so there are certainly pastors who take that tactic. Now, I don't think that's particularly helpful of building the church and making the church available to people. But I think you bring up a great point that there's power to hearing the word in the context of a community that,
and there's
that is
an emotional connection at the same exact time when, I mean, it's the Holy Spirit, really and truly. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. But, you know, you feel different when you're an in-person sitting there listening.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, if you think about, like, if you go to a movie theater versus watching a movie at your home, like, in the theater, funny movies are funnier. Mm-hmm. Scary movies are scarier. It's just that communal experience. Even if you're surrounded by strangers, you're feeling the energy and the passion within the people around you differently.
Right. Right.
And at home, you'll watch a movie and it's easy to pause to go make popcorn or stare at your phone for a few minutes or check your email while things are happening. And so, so it's being in the space is a more distraction-free environment.
Correct.
Ideally.
Right.
Right. Ideally.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so we got that. So we're hearing the word. What else do we have? Katie, what's on your list?
Okay. So it's participate in corporate worship. I think there's something, I mean, it's all community. It all goes back. It's all the same thing.
I think community is the root of it, yeah.
But I think, too, it holds us accountable. Like, and I don't know. I know I need help with accountability in my life when I just try to go out on my own and do stuff.
Yeah.
And it's being a part of something bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think, and maybe this is a piece of what you're touching on here, Katie, but what I often find when I have to participate in corporate worship is that I am being forced into community with people that I otherwise wouldn't engage with.
Yeah.
Whether it's because we disagree on things or because they're just generally people I don't like or don't get along with, whatever that might be. And not just because I'm serving as a pastor, right? This is whenever I worship in a congregation, there are people in that room that I am being forced into community with that I would not be with otherwise. Sure. And that is an important experience for me because it is a reminder that those people are a part of the body of Christ too. Sure. That I am not, the body of Christ is not made up of people just like me.
Yeah.
And, corporate worship allows us to experience that in a way that, you know, if I'm finding community in my spin class, or if I'm finding community in my wine tasting group, or I'm finding community in my art class, like those are all communities of shared interest where by and large you're there because you would all get along at some level. I mean, certainly you're not going to get along with everybody in your group, but you're, I think you're more likely to find a homogenous group in those environments than you are just in corporate worship.
Now, let me pause here, because I think we're using some churchy language.
Sure.
Corporate worship.
Oh,
it's very churchy language.
That's reasonable. That absolutely. Yeah, we should clarify that. So when I say corporate worship, I mean any time that we are worshiping together with more than one person. So anytime a body of people, a group of people is gathered together to worship, whatever that might look like. I mean, it can be a Lutheran setting, a non-denominational setting, whatever. Yeah. But that would be how I define that.
Sure. Yeah, I think too, by being in church and worshiping in that space, you'll see there are definitely times in my life, valleys or moments of doubt or where my faith is low, where I'm like, I just do not want to worship. I do not want to sit here. I don't want to sing. I don't want to pray. I'm not interested in engaging in this space. And at those points, the community around me can carry me and my own doubts, my own fears, my own insecurities, or my own issues carry me in worship. And those things are valuable as well. So it's not just about like I'm choosing to listen to worship music when I want to hear it. I mean, I'm choosing to engage in worship even when I do not want to be a part of it. And that's valuable. Like there's a value there of like, because then 3 months from now when I'm in a different space, my job is also to carry in worship the people around me who are not there, who are not plugged into what's going on. And so I think that's a valuable thing that we can do in church that's different than just doing it on your own. Because on your own, when you're in those spaces, there's nobody to lean on. There's nobody to sing for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And at the same time, we are forced to hear things that challenge us. I mean, sometimes we're forced to hear things that encourage us when we don't want to, but more often we're forced to hear things that challenge us when we don't want to. And this is one of the reasons that within the Lutheran Church, most of us preach based on Bible texts that are being pulled from what we call the lectionary, which is a designated order of ways that Scripture is going to be read. So, if you go to most Lutheran churches on a given Sunday, we're all going to be reading the same Scripture passages because those have been predetermined of what we're going to read. And so sometimes we have to preach on things that we'd rather not preach on.
Sure.
And you might have to listen to a lesson on something that you'd rather might not listen to. And so, yeah, it might be really hard to listen to a sermon about Jesus talking about divorce the week after you filed for divorce. But there's an opportunity for spirit in that moment. And, you know, it might be really, really challenging to hear a sermon about the rich young ruler the week after you get a big promotion. And all of these things can happen to us. But we're forced to encounter the ways in which God's word, again, when God's word is being proclaimed within the context of community, has the ability to encourage us, comfort us, and also will inevitably convict us and challenge us.
All right. Hear the word, hear sermons, engage in worship. What else do we have?
I have find godly mentors. And I know like you were talking about the AA group and how the church doesn't necessarily do a great job of finding a sponsor, if you will. But I think that with kids, we do a really good job with that. I don't know about if an adult comes in and is baptized and we don't pair them with somebody right away. But with kids, I think we do a really good job at that. I think, I mean, how many, is it five faith, children need like five influences of faith.
Six
people? Okay. Of different faith influencers in their lives.
Yeah.
And, I think we do that. We do that with Sunday school teachers. We allow kids to have, I mean, I know in our confirmation program, there are youth mentors in each small group. I think we do a great job of that with our children.
Yeah, I think we, by and large, I think churches are better at doing this for kids than they are for adults.
Sure. Yeah, I think if we were, you know, this is a combination of this week and last week. Discipling is one of the things that I think churches could do a better job overall. And usually we try to push our resources towards like evangelizing, teaching, preaching, but discipling is sometimes left behind. And that's that mentoring aspect. And so, but I do think that this can be a valuable part of what's going on in church. Finding people who are older than you or who have experienced life mm-hmm. differently than you to walk alongside. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a valuable thing that comes with church, walking alongside people with different experiences.
And I remember when I became a member here at Lord of Life, our new member class gave us sponsors. Like there were people, other members of the congregation who sponsored me when I joined the church. Mm-hmm. And I still have a relationship with them to this day and love mm-hmm. them dearly. And I think that's also a very good mm-hmm. thing. I was an adult, obviously, at the time when I joined. And then pairing you up with somebody else in the congregation mm-hmm. is also helpful.
But even if your church, and sometimes maybe even our church, doesn't do a great job of putting these systems in place for godly mentors, that doesn't mean godly mentors are not at the church.
Correct. No,
and
absolutely.
And that doesn't mean that it's not possible to get engaged yep. or get plugged in and have those things. So,
absolutely.
So we could definitely maybe do a better job of recognizing or supporting this process, but this process is still taking place on some form or other with or without church leadership expressly supporting it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, all right. So godly mentors are part of this.
And lastly, I have, it's a place where we get to share our own gifts.
How is that different from someplace outside of the church where I get to share,
like your work?
For an example, I am a musician at heart, mm-hmm. so I'm a vocalist, and church was the first place mm-hmm. that I truly, and I mean, I'm talking when I was like 5 or 6. Was the first time that I got to share that, and in a very positive way, and people responded well. You know what I mean? It wasn't, I don't know, that kind of started my first experience of like, this is what I get to do at church. I get to sing and I get to share this gift with everybody. Mm-hmm. And then it molded into, oh, then I started doing it at school and felt comfortable there and sharing this gift. And then it grew into, oh, I'm going to be a music teacher when I grow up, which is what I did, you know, and I got to share that gift with kids and teach them how to do it. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I think it's a safe place and a good place for people to share the gifts that they've been given as well. If your gift is to teach and you love Jesus and you want to teach adult faith formation classes or children or,
yeah.
you know, and it might not be people who, I mean, we've talked about this too, where some of our Sunday school teachers are not, most of our Sunday school teachers are not educators. They're not right. teachers by trade.
Yeah.
They work in banks and they work in, you know, other fields, and this allows them a chance to get to teach.
Yeah.
You know, I think it allows us to share our gifts as well.
I do think there's a particular joy. And by joy, I mean more than just happiness, but a kind of deeply felt understanding of living into who you're called to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a particular joy of being able to learn how to use your gifts in a way that allows other people to
experience God,
mm-hmm. right? And that so lots of kids learn that they have the ability to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not as many kids learn that their ability to sing can be a way for other people to experience God's love.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I think mm-hmm. coming to church is a particular way in which we are able to share those gifts mm-hmm. in a way that we learn to do that so that others might experience God. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we joked about Tim Tebow a couple weeks ago on the podcast and how he used to take a knee after every touchdown that he would score. But he learned that probably in church, right? To mm-hmm. say, this is a gift you've been given. Not to say, and I don't want to critique his motivation or anything like that, because I've never had a conversation with Tim Tebow about why he did that. But
sure.
not to say God cares whether or not you win this football game. Like, I don't think God is determining the outcome based on which team prayed more. I don't think that's how that works. But I do think it's important for players, athletes, musicians, whatever your talent is, to realize you have the ability to do that mm-hmm. because you have been gifted with a particular talent by God. And to give God thanks for that in a way that allows other people to potentially experience God, I think is a meaningful opportunity.
Yeah. All right. So Katie's list was hear the word,
mm-hmm.
Participate in worship, find godly mentors,
mm-hmm.
share your gifts, and we also talked about community. So those are kind of five things we kind of listed off on why we should be involved in our local church. Do we have any others? Okay, well, I have one. I think another reason we are supposed to go to church is because God tells us to. And, I mean, this is something that God does mention in Scripture. Jesus mentions, Paul mentions mm-hmm. the value of joining together for these things. That faith is not meant to be walked alone.
Mm-hmm.
That it is meant to be walked together. And that's a valuable thing. And whether or not our local churches are good at faith sometimes or bad or difficult, it's meant to be done together. Mm-hmm. And so it's not meant to be done in your car, listening to a podcast or with the latest Hillsong album, which there's nothing wrong with. Those things are valuable mm-hmm. things. But faith is meant to be done together.
Yeah.
And Jesus is clear on that. And so either we take that seriously or we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And either we sometimes go to church when we don't want to and we're like, I'm not feeling it. And maybe something magical happens in the midst mm-hmm. of that process. And then I have another one. And that's to celebrate the sacraments of God.
Oh, communion, yeah, that's good.
Baptism.
That's so good. My bad.
Wow. I'm just going to say.
I feel like I'm being unfairly judged for this.
You can feel it coming from the speakers of your vehicle right now.
Though. Fair enough. Yes. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, in communion, in baptism, we see and connect to God in a different way, whether that's observing yep. or participating. Mm-hmm. And those things really only happen involved in corporate worship. And so those things are not to say they can't, but that's where they mostly happen.
That's where that should happen. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that's a valuable thing too, to celebrate sacrament together.
Yeah.
Well, we did say participate in corporate worship, so I mean,
was that,
yeah.
was that like
it's
a,
included.
That was
in
a
there.
Subset. That was a,
yeah. That's like a
yes.
Sacraments.
Except there's a lot of corporate worship that doesn't do those things. So
I know. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
I wish that we could have used that as an argument, but let's be honest. We dropped the ball on that one. I do want to point out though that you know on the list of things that we've come up with reasons to go to church, I think we've got a great understanding of why it's important to come to church.
Yeah.
One thing that I think it's important for us to note is not on this list. Is kind of that classic reason of going to church, which is to learn moral right from wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or to learn how to be a good person might be another way to phrase that to think about. Like the reason that we come to church is not to learn how to be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of people who are quote unquote good people who
mm-hmm.
who take care of their neighbors, mm-hmm. who are generous with their money, who care for one another, watch out for one another, treat people with mm-hmm. respect. Have never set foot in a church,
mm-hmm.
right? Or, you know, have never set foot in any sort of religious institution whatsoever, mm-hmm. church or otherwise. And so coming to church just to learn how to be a good person, I mean, I guess if that's the reason you get in the door, then that's mm-hmm. a start. But you're going to be disappointed if that's your only goal.
Sure.
Because what you're going to discover is that coming to church more than teaching you to be a good person will wreck your life
mm-hmm.
in beautiful mm-hmm. and painful ways so that God can continue to rebuild you into the people of God that yeah. we were created to be from the beginning, which is more than just being a good person,
mm-hmm.
right? God did not call us to be good people. God called us to be people of God, and mm-hmm. those are connected but separate ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all three of us in our church workers, we all work professionally within the church, and we can all admit that things about our church we love and things about
yeah.
our church we dislike mm-hmm. and that are things about our church we want to change and we're working towards those things. But this is not a blanket statement for that. Every church out there is a church you should be involved in. If there's plenty of churches out there that have unfortunately been abusive, that mm-hmm. are run by people that are con artists or are shifters or practice spiritual abuse towards people. And mm-hmm. those are not churches we want to celebrate. If you go to your church, or if you were involved in a church that you experience these things, get out.
Yeah.
Go to a different place.
And if you're still wounded from that,
yeah.
know that we hear that pain. And we want you to know that we acknowledge that pain, that others acknowledge that pain. That is a real grief, but it is a grief for God as well, because that is not the intention of what the church was intended to be about.
Okay, it's recommendation time. Or before we get there, maybe you can let us know as a listener why you go to church.
Yeah,
what is
absolutely.
Your reasoning for going to church? How can they let us know real quick? Give
you
us
can,
one way.
Yeah, you can get us on Facebook and
Facebook.
Comment on our Facebook page why you go to church.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can take a picture of yourself at your church and post it to Instagram and tag us at beyond_Sunday.
There you go.
Yeah, awesome.
Perfect. All right, we have a recommendation, though.
We do, and it's me. Ah, yay. So I have this website, but I'm going to read just a little bit from this article on this website. I'm going to give you the website in a minute because that's the recommendation, but I'm going to hold you in suspense here. Okay. So the article is called Sometimes Church is Hard. And I just want to read a couple lines from it. And it says, church is hard for the person walking through the doors afraid of judgment. Church is hard for the pastor's family under the microscope of an entire body. Church is hard for the prodigal soul returning home, broken and battered by the world. And it goes on to say why church is hard for different people. Church is hard for the couple who fought the entire ride to service. Church is hard. But it also continues on and says that, however, underneath those layers, you find a body of imperfect people, carnal souls, selfish motives. But here is the beauty of the church. Church isn't a building, mentality, or expectation. Church is a body. Church is a group of sinners saved by grace, living in fellowship as saints. Church is a body of believers bound as brothers and sisters by an eternal love. And it goes on to say all of the wonderful things that church is. So, for my recommendation, I recommend a website. And it's called herviewfromhome.com. So men, don't be scared, even though it says her. Go check it out. It is a
Herview
collection.
Herview is a valuable thing for men to see as well.
Absolutely. Sure. There are some of these articles that I'm like, husband, read. Anyway, so it is a collection of different writers who speak to topics like marriage, kids, faith, grief. And it's just really good. Some of it's really just really good to listen to and helps.
That's herviewfromhome.com. All one word, right? Herviewfromhome.com.
Herviewfromhome.com. Yes, so there's your recommendation for the week.
All right.
Do
Thank
some
you,
research,
Katie.
Exploring, have fun.
We hope you all enjoyed this episode of Beyond Sunday. You can get us on our website, beyondsundaypodcast.com, where you can find all of our most recent episodes and links to special content. You can, of course, find us also on Facebook at Beyond Sunday Podcast on our Facebook page.
All right, awesome. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Have a great week.
Bye.